But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We're going to be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've given the title Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so we're going to be going through this particular text. And the first thing we can consider is what Paul says there about the fullness of the time had come. So that's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus, Moses spoke about one who would come after him, who would be like him, but would speak God's words to the nation of Israel. 1,000 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, David, King David, had a promise that from his family line would come the Messiah. And from that time, from David, right up to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of Israel, Judah, as it was in the time of Christ, would have their ups and their downs. There would be times of good kings, times of bad kings. There would be times in which they would be taken into exile, into Babylon. And all that was taking place until the right time for the coming of the Messiah, for the Lord Jesus. Judah, by the time of Christ, had become one nation. And it was the one nation on earth which had the Word of God, the Old Testament scriptures. And by the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Old Testament scripture, which was written in Hebrew, had been translated into Greek, the Septuagint. And it meant that the then known world, which was basically the Roman Empire at that time, had translations of the Word of God in Hebrew and in Greek. That was a special time where everybody in that known world would be able to read the Word of God. But it was also the one nation on earth at this time that worshipped the one true God, Jehovah or Yahweh. Because all the other nations, whether they were the Greeks or the Romans or the Egyptians, they all had their many gods. But Judah, Israel, had the one God, Jehovah Yahweh. And it is at that moment in time, when all the rest of the world will be worshipping their idols, that there was this one small nation with the Word of God, worshipping the one true God, that God the Father sent his Son to come down upon earth. The fullness of the time had come 2,000 years ago. Well, we read from Galatians 4 that he sent his Son, his Son Jesus. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. In God's perfect time, in God the Father's perfect time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, a virgin. And hundreds of years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this was told in the Old Testament scriptures from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 is one of those Christmas verses. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew tells us in chapter 1 that that name Emmanuel means God with us. And the child that was to be born 2,000 years ago of the Virgin Mary was to be a child that was born under law. Again, we can go back to Galatians. No, I haven't got... Yes, yes. There it is, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Born of a woman, born under law. Now, what that means is that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into a world of sin. But one of the things you can say about the Lord Jesus was that he had no sin. The scripture is clear and precise in that. Although he was born into a world of sin, yet he knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 is one classic text of scripture that tells us this. And again, it's Paul writing to another church now, the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made for, to be sin for us. He became the sin bearer, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The one that was born in that Bethlehem stable and placed in the manger was born under law. And that meant he had to be a child. He had to be an adult who would be obedient to all of God's commands, all of God's laws. He was born knowing no sin, and he had to live having done no sin. But why? Well, because Jesus came to rescue us. We who were like him, born in this world, but unlike him, we are born in sin. That original sin that came from Adam and Eve at the very beginning. And unlike him, we are still living in sin, aren't we? We still fail to be obedient to all God's laws, to everything that God would command of us, everything that God would be pleased in us. And we so often stumble, we so often fall, even when we try desperately to be living that good life. So often we fail in that. And Paul gives us another text. He gives us a writing to another church. He writes in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus came because we needed someone to rescue us. And he came, as the angel said, as the Savior. Savior of all his people. And that word Savior means someone who rescues. Someone who saves us. It also means somebody who redeems us. So our third point, how could he redeem us? Well, we need to go back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, 4 and 5 for those words. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. By being a true man, and that is what Jesus is. He isn't just some angelic being that's come down from heaven and is not a human, but he is truly a man. And in living a true human life and being himself subject to being to the fallenness of the world, yet without sin, we've got to keep mentioning that. He lived that perfect life for us. And he did so without sin. And he acquired for himself a true righteousness that could be given to us. And going to the cross, he became the substitute, the sin bearer in our place. You see, God is holy. Heaven is holy. The place where God is a place where there is no sin. No unholy thing can enter into heaven and come and be alongside God. And our sins, and as the hymn writer puts it, our sins, not in part, but the whole, have to be paid for. And we can't pay for those sins ourselves. No matter how good we are, no matter how much we try to be obedient to God's word, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're fallen people. But Jesus can. And Jesus paid as the sin bearer for our sins upon that cross at Calvary. All our rebellions against God, our unbelief against God, all our bad deeds against man and God, all had to be dealt with. All had to be paid for if we had to go to heaven. Because we rightly deserve, don't we, the punishment of God for the things that we have done. But instead of receiving that punishment, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ is punished in our place. The wrath of God is poured upon him at Calvary. Remember the words of dereliction that the Lord Jesus Christ shouted out on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He who is the very Son of God, who knows the smile and the love of the Father in heaven and the worship of angels, as we've been thinking of, there on the cross, the wrath of the Father is poured upon him for our sins, so that we, the unrighteous ones, can know an exchange where he would take our ungodlinesses, our sins, nail them to the cross, and he would give us his righteousness. And again, that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If we are to go to heaven, if we are to stand before that holy God in that holy place, we can only do so by being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing in our hands we can bring. We could only say that we believe in Jesus, we trust in him, and Jesus is our Lord. So that brings me to a final point this morning, and that is the value of the Savior's death. The value of the Savior's death. Let's return to Galatians chapter 4, and especially to verse 5. We read there of the fullness of the time had come. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might become the adoption, that we might receive the adoption as sons. What's the value of the Savior's death? Eternal life. An eternal life in heaven, peace with God, because in our sins we are always at war with God, aren't we? But there in that verse 2, the adoption as the sons and the daughters of God. That's the value of the Savior's death. Paul expressed it in a different way. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, that's the promise. That's the promise. Eternal life. Eternal life with God and with Jesus. And that eternal life is only and because Jesus came down on earth to be a baby born in a manger, who became the man who died on the cross. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Father, again, we praise you for this amazing good news, this glad tidings, as the angel said, this amazing sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And as we think of it, as we celebrate it, as we sing of it, as we remember it, Lord, it fills our heart with gladness and thanksgiving, because that and that only was the way of salvation, that God the Son had to come down to be that man who would die on a cross. Help us to remember that. Help us to speak of it. Help us to be like the shepherds who, having seen the baby in the manger, were so full of what they had seen and received from the angels that they couldn't stop telling people about it. We pray that we would also be like the wise men who came and knelt before the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they offered gifts to the baby Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would take of the talents and the giftings that you've given to us, that we might be used as your servants to serve him and to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the world. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.